Will Kyoto go or no?
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. 1 year ago today, the Kyoto Treaty took effect. That's the international agreement to reduce greenhouse gases. 1 year, and many are already writing its obituary. But one aspect of the treaty is keeping hope alive for those who want it to last. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Sam Eaton reports.
Regardless of whether the Kyoto Protocol survives beyond its 2012 expiration date, experts say mandatory limits on carbon dioxide emissions are here to stay. The explanation? There's money to be made. Carbon trading markets set up to commodify greenhouse gas reductions are booming. CO2 trading is expected to grow into a $40 billion industry by the end of the decade. But David Doniger with the Natural Resources Defense Council says that's a market the U.S. won't be a part of until it passes mandatory emissions controls.
If you have voluntary programs, you have lots of people who want to sell things. But until you have people who need to buy, you don't have a real market.
Just look at the numbers, Doniger says. A ton of CO2 trades for nearly $32 on European markets, up from about $8 a year ago. On the U.S.'s voluntary Chicago Climate Exchange, that same amount of carbon only fetches around $2. I'm Sam Eaton for Marketplace.
To the Europeans, Microsoft probably seems like the class clown. The company just won't behave. Yesterday was the deadline for Microsoft to update European antitrust officials. Instead, the company turned in a 75-page document highly critical of European regulators. Many expect Microsoft's latest antics to result in more fines against the company. The technology-heavy NASDAQ stock exchange is launching a new level of listings. It's part of an ongoing competition with the rival New York Stock Exchange. Alisa Roth has more from New York.
The new trading tier is called NASDAQ Global Select Market. It's targeted at blue-chip companies. And NASDAQ's Vice President Edward Knight says it has the toughest criteria of any market in the world.
Markets that exhibit the most excellent standards will attract the most investors, will attract the highest quality companies, and over time will perform the best.
The New York Stock Exchange has mocked NASDAQ's new listing, saying the NYSE has had the same standards for years. Competition between the two exchanges has been heating up in recent months. Analyst David Easthope says today's announcement from NASDAQ is its latest effort to attract more companies.
There is greater and greater competition for listed trading on the floor of the exchange. NASDAQ can now move into the NYSE's traditional domain, which is listed trading.
NASDAQ's new trading tier should be up and running this summer. In New York, I'm Alisa Roth for Marketplace.
For the past 8 years, England's Manchester United has been the world's richest soccer team. Not anymore. Spain's Real Madrid has taken over the top spot. Accountants Deloitte and Touche crunched the numbers. Perhaps it's because superstar David Beckham now plays for Real instead of Man U. Oil prices are still falling and Wall Street is responding. The Dow climbed 30 points to 11,058. The S&P 500 index added 4 to 1280. The Nasdaq was up 14 points to 2276. Today, oil is trading just above $58 a barrel. You're listening to Marketplace. Ah, yes, it's time for spring training, folks, and Major League Baseball hopes to clean up again this year financially. Kurt Nickisch reports.
Even coming off a steroid scandal, Major League Baseball earned record revenues last season, almost $4.5 billion. Now the league hopes to add to that by renewing its TV contract with Fox. Gary Gillette writes for ESPN.com. He says baseball is flush with cash, but don't think that's going to make players and owners one big happy family.
Of course, when there's more money to divide up, both sides want more of that more money.
So divided up they will. After this season, team owners and players have to renew their collective bargaining agreement. Gillette says he won't be surprised if brinksmanship leads to a player lockout. He says management has seen how well that's worked for owners in the NHL and the NBA. I'm Kurt Nickisch for Marketplace.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced and distributed by American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. Market data and news brought to you by Reuters. The facts without spin as they happen. Reuters helps you stay in the know now.
This is Marketplace. I'm Scott Jagow. Pension plans seem to be going the way of the dodo bird. Companies from IBM to Alcoa are switching to 401k-type retirement offerings instead. So the onus will now be on employees to save the money themselves. Right now, only half of workers participate in their company's 401k or 403b. But personal finance expert Chris Farrell says that may be shifting.
There's a lot of ferment among economists to try and make these plans better, and they're dipping into behavioral finance and psychology and sociology and trying to bring a new stock of knowledge to these plans, the way they're designed, just to address the question that you're talking about, which is how do we increase participation rates?
Well, right now, a lot of companies, you have to opt into the plan. But one of the new things, maybe as part of this psychology thing, is the opt-out idea.
Most of us have an opt-in plan. So you're hired by an employer and, you know, you're filling out that benefits form and you're scratching your head. And there'll be somewhere a line saying, well, do you want to participate? Once you've done that, then you have to decide, all right, how much do you want to put in? And then you have to figure out, okay, now which mutual fund or choice of mutual fund families do you want to pick? Very complex choice. What turns out is a lot of people who are, you know, hey, we're all pressed for money, right? You say, well, maybe I won't check it right now. Maybe I'll do another year or two. Of course, a year or two turns into two or three or three or four. But what turns out if it's what we call an opt-out plan, in other words, when you sit down, you are automatically enrolled. There's a number of economic studies, and essentially you're seeing participation rates jumping from, say, the 40 to 50% range to 80 to 90%.
Well, I've also heard about this idea of quick enrollment. Now, what is that?
Some people don't like the opt-out plan. I think it's great, but there's a, you know, there's a strain that says, you know, this is very, very paternalistic. You know, you're forcing people to enroll. People should be making a choice. At the same time, if you accept that point of view, you do want to make it simpler. And so Hewitt Associates, which is a big human resources firm, has come up with what they call the quick enrollment plan. And what the plan does with the quick enrollment is you still have to check that box that says, yes, I want to participate in your plan. But that's all you have to do. A certain amount of money is put aside and you get a decent asset allocation.
How much of a movement is there with these new ideas? I mean, are a lot of companies doing this?
I think the momentum is growing. The other thing is there's greater awareness that the traditional defined pension plan. So there's a real recognition that if the traditional pension plan is going away and that the 401k, the 403b, the defined contribution pension plan is the main pension plan for working Americans, that we need to make that system better and we need to increase the participation rate.
Chris Farrell is economics editor for our weekend program, Marketplace Money. Your thoughts are always welcome. You can email us letters@marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening and have a great day.
American Public Media.
You don't just graduate and send out a slew of.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.